With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and we are here tonight to talk about the fireworks that went down in tonight's Big Brother Canada 9 episode for the veto. With me tonight, we have Geneva. How are you doing, Geneva?
I'm doing very well, Taryn. How are you?
Doing very well. Very excited. Melissa is also with us here tonight. Melissa, how are you doing?
Another cliffhanger, huh?
Another cliffhanger, yes.
It's like, what the heck? They were like, you know what? We heard you. You don't love cliffhangers. So we're going to give you another one. It's like, oh my God, no.
Yes. You know what? I will say, didn't mind this cliffhanger as much as the HOH cliffhanger.
Well, yeah, because you already know what's going to happen. But imagine you're a person who doesn't watch the feeds, who's just like watching the show. And every episode, you just get delayed gratification.
I think additionally, it helps that the episode is tomorrow night, right?
Like, true. Like, it's not like you have to wait a whole weekend.
Exactly. And so people are going to, it's sort of like, you know, I've been watching The Circle. They air an episode every day. And when there's a cliffhanger in The Circle, I don't really mind because I'm going to watch it the next day, right? So I can accept the cliffhanger here, and I like how dramatic the ending of the episode.
It was very dramatic. I mean, there was a lot of drama this episode.
There was, yes. Oh, yeah. And also, not only was there a lot of drama, it was actually edited fairly accurately. I was very surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasantly,
I mean,
so.
I guess this one was a little easier to edit, I do feel, because it wasn't like so many like crazy intertwining things going on behind the scenes. It was kind of like, okay, yeah, there was this, you know, argument that happened, and then this is the fallout, and then this is Victoria's actual reasoning, but this is the reasoning she's presenting to them. Like, it was a little, it was kind of a gimme, but at the same time, like, I'm very glad that it was represented accurately.
Yeah. It's like they were like, all right, guys, we need to be prepared. This is, we've got another situation. The house is very dynamic. We're going to need all hands on deck. And then the house got split in two and everything became very simple. And they were like, oh, now what do we do? Now what are we going to spend our time on?
This is easy.
Coming up with silly things to say in the recap, like,
to send the Rose Show out the dodo.
Oh my God. I heard that and I was like, the dodo?
The dodo. The dodo?
Is that a thing?
The hodo.
The hodo dodo. Yeah. Well, you know.
Man, did they? I mean, I thought I was annoyed with the rap itself. But now we're getting the rap included in the recap as the we're rhyming Ro show with the dodo.
Yeah, if they could have come up with a better rhyme, I could excuse the rap being used in the intro, but that was not so good.
I guess.
Yeah, they didn't even need to do Ro show. They could have just done Ro out the dough, right?
Taryn, that's too easy.
They just wanted more of an impact. They wanted you to think about it more and be like, oh, wow, that's really
weird. So poignant. Yeah. Dodo. Is he a dodo going out the dodo? Oh man, I'm thinking about it too much.
Yeah. So we get straight into this episode where the recap sort of sets up that Toya did try to flip the house on Ro, and then Victoria went and nominated Toya and Kiefer. Kiefer as the fake target, Toya as the real target, and we are then going to get set up with something that went down on the feeds that, again, I was surprised that they portrayed it as accurately as they did, in the sense that it all spawned from Tina telling Kyle and Ro that that Kiefer had told her that they're still coming after her, which was a lie. And then Ro walking in on Kiefer and Toya. Kiefer was in the middle of saying, "I'm too soft for this game." And then they were both just like cracking up about that. And Ro is just like, "Oh man, hate when I miss the joke." And Toya's like, "Well,
that's so awkward.
There'll be more."
What, like, an awkward thing to say? Like, you make it awkward by being like, "Oh, I guess I missed the joke." I just feel like, why?
It's one of those like, it's awkward. Should we bring attention to the fact that it's awkward to make it less awkward? And that's what Ro goes with here, Geneva.
Yeah, it was a bit of a really strange moment. And so then they were just kind of like, you know, we're sorry you missed it. You'll find out later.
There'll be more jokes
don't worry
tonight.
About it.
It'll be fine.
It's all good. But then that just became like a huge thing, you know, because he's like, "Well, I heard fireworks. And so, like, I know there's more to this story." So it just was like this whole, I think, you know, dramatic thing, what it was really just, you know, them joking around. And I mean, when you think about it, too, it's like they're both on the block, you know, it's a difficult situation. And, you know, even though Kiefer is, you know, aware of the idea that he's not really the target, you know, he's also, we've noticed this week, he's been trying to play it up a lot to show like, oh, you know, like, it's really me that's going. And that's the sort of situation that's been happening. But I don't know. Rohan is, I think he's just getting himself involved in a lot of different things. And I don't know if this is like the villain that like he tried to talk about being in his like preseason stuff. And that's where this is coming out from. I'm not too sure. But yeah, I thought that was a interesting exchange.
I just don't understand, like, why it even happened. Like, I feel like if two people are joking around and, like, laughing and it's, like, you walk in on it, I don't know. I feel like my first instinct would have been, like, oh, guess I'm being excluded here. I'd be like, oh, okay, these people had it, like, were laughing together and I wasn't in the room and then I came in the room. Like, it's, like, why is the first instinct that, like, something nefarious
no,
is
Melissa,
happening?
It's fireworks. There's going to be fireworks tonight.
Apparently people aren't allowed to laugh in the house. I don't know. I guess it's against the rules, but
yeah, no laughing. No laughing unless it involves the Ro show.
Yeah, no laughing and no talking to people while I'm sitting on a couch. No pulling people into rooms while I'm on a couch. That's a no-go for the Ro show.
No ho-hos without the Ro show. I'm bad at this.
So Ro is convinced that there's a house meeting or something about to be called and that he's going to get called out. So what they left out of the episode was that Ro had actually told a little bit of a lie himself to Tina earlier in the day. And he told Tina that Toya wanted to put her on the block. And so he had kind of a guilty conscience, I think, and was kind of like, oh, Tina must have ratted me out. And that's why they're calling a house meeting to confront me about it. And so that's kind of where I think some of the paranoia came from. And so he goes to Kyle and Austin. He's, oh, they're going to do this. They're going to call like a house meeting. There's going to be fireworks. We need to cut this off. By the way, to this day, in fact, just today, Ro was still convinced that they were going to call some kind of house meeting and that him and Kyle ended up putting a stop to it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I get that it's like it's such a strange conversation for me. Like, even I've seen it multiple times and I thought maybe like I would understand it more on the episode, like the confrontation, I guess, where they're confronting Kiefer and Kiefer's like, I guess, like upset that they're confronting him. And I guess everyone's complaining that everyone else is yelling when it didn't really seem like anybody was really yelling. And then it was like, oh, we're not going to gang up on one person. I just felt like it was very confusing to me why it was even like an issue in the first place. Like, what was the problem? Like, where did this stem from? And I get that everybody felt like justified, I guess, in this, but I feel like it got turned into something that it wasn't. Like, I feel like it escalated so quickly and so like intensely to the point where like I said last night that like, you know, Kyle's going around on an apology tour when I'm kind of like confused as to even what the issue is. Well, do you know what I mean?
I mean, Melissa, I think we all know and understand that you know, Ro is...
What, are you kidding me? I'm the most calm, cool, and collected person in this house.
Oh.
Yeah. He's clearly very calm, cool, and collected.
Calm, cool, and collected. That's exactly how I would describe him.
That's how I would describe the whole situation, personally. we covered this in detail on the morning update that it happened, which was the Saturday morning update. Mm-hmm. So if you would like to hear the sort of the more detailed take on exactly what happened and sort of the reactions that happened afterward, one of the things that was left out was that the word bullying got thrown around. That's part of why Kyle got so upset. This was an intense sort of interaction. Kiefer felt like he was that Kyle and Ro were trying to intimidate him, and that Toya was kind of coming to his aid. And then he did have that talk with Ro and Kyle afterward, where Ro was still kind of in the diary room. He was kind of like, yeah, I think I was a little bit wrong. To Kiefer himself, he was a little bit more like, what are you talking about? I didn't really do anything wrong. Whereas Kyle was a bit more forthright with an apology, which Kiefer did appreciate. And so it is worth noting that the Kiefer is a bit more pro Kyle than pro Ro here, Geneva.
Yeah, I guess that seems to be the situation. This whole exchange, I think, was definitely an interesting thing to watch, especially, you know, I mean, I'm glad in a sense that, you know, Toya did try to call them out. But then I understand how, like, you know, Kyle and Ro were like, well, can you give us examples like who said this, who did what? Like, you're not specifying. But, you know, I think also if you're on the block like LaToya, I think that this probably also isn't the situation where you just tell people that you don't like them and that, you know, you're not going to talk to them anymore, regardless of what it is, even if you don't like them, because, you know, who knows what's going to happen. You know, it might come to a point where those votes are really crucial. And since she doesn't necessarily think she's the target per se, I mean, she's having those thoughts and she's like, oh, I might be, or I'm probably not. And, you know, cause Victoria keeps saying, oh, it's Kiefer because of the lie he told. I do think that the way that should have been handled, like, I understand that even in her, like, Kyle's apology to LaToya, she was just kind of like, you know, I don't apologize for anything that I said. I stay true to like what I felt and what I believed. And I do appreciate that, but I also feel like getting yourself involved in fights and confrontations, especially like when you're on the block, I don't think necessarily helps your game. And I think that probably also caused, even though I think at first we saw this week, you know, Kiefer basically had a lot of issues with Kyle and Ro, it seems even more so they're having a lot of more negativity against LaToya at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, she doesn't like them.
Yeah,
I feel like the conversation, I don't necessarily see any of it as like bullying. I know that word was thrown around a lot. I didn't really see it as bullying. I think that's a very specific thing. That's not just like getting in an argument with somebody. Even if it's an aggressive argument, I don't necessarily see that as like bullying. But I think everybody handled this pretty poorly. I feel like Kyle and Ro certainly didn't come across so great. And it did seem like they were kind of really harping on Kiefer when it's like he tried to kind of like diffuse the situation.
Trying to make some stir fry.
They kept kind of going at him. At the same time, like, I do feel like Kiefer was acting really guilty when he was talking with them, when he was just like, You know, I think this was all a misunderstanding. It's like, it looked guilty.
It was a misunderstanding.
No, I know, but the way he was saying it made it look so guilty. Like, it really, honestly, the way he was coming across was like, oh, I'm just trying to like pretend this is about stir fry when really it's about something else. Like, it seemed like that. And then also, you know, his reaction after the fact or even during it where he's just like, look, like, I just want to enjoy this week. Like, the week is over for me, or like, I don't want to talk game or whatever. He said, I'm not going to talk game with you guys. I don't think that's good, especially for someone who's on the block. And then I don't think LaToya handled it well when she comes in and is like, I mean, she could have stayed out of it. I do like that she was like, look, we're not going to like confront one person and go against one person. I did like that. But however, it was like, okay, you're on the block. Maybe don't say like, I don't like you, you know, like you guys said, like, don't say I don't like you, just like kind of maybe diffuse the situation instead of escalating it. And so I don't think any of them handled this properly. I think it could have been done in such a different way, and it took a bad turn, and it kind of just kept going in that direction. And not great.
Not great. Not great.
First of all, this is not a good talk, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, no.
Unfortunately, not.
Yeah. We hear from Tina a little bit here that she says she's smack dab in the middle playing this game. That, you know, she is in between the two sides. We do get the formation of the oddballs, which includes Tina and Tara. But Tina and Tara are playing the middle here, and that's a pretty good place to be most of the time, Geneva.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that being in the middle is good because, especially when, depending on who is the head of household, you can definitely adapt in that sort of situation. If you're part of a clear side and you're not on the side that wins HOH, then you're probably going to end up as a clear target. But I also feel like being in the middle can also get you in trouble, because I think when people know that you're in the middle and you're playing both sides and you're not making allegiances to people, ultimately, that also puts a target on your back. But I think kind of where, you know, Tina and Tara are right now, especially Tina's realizing, you know, the whole Sunsetters thing right now, it's not really working out. And she's just not necessarily, you know, at the top of that. And I think it's pretty clear that even in the situation now, like, I think even, you know, Kiefer knows, like, it's really like a Jed, Ty, LaToya thing going on here. So, you know, for Tina and Tara, I think for their game, it's definitely important to form more relationships with the other side and, you know, play both sides to a certain point. But I know they're going to they may potentially get caught, or they may have to, you know, form their own additional side.
Yeah, I think generally they're in a good place right now. And like, just from an outside view, yes, they're in a good spot in this moment. However, it's so precarious. I just feel like you're just walking a tightrope when you're in the middle. And if you start to move too close to one side, you know, that would show your cards to the other side. And also, you know, we've seen in the past that people are usually more upset when someone they think is a friend of theirs turns against them versus when their enemy the whole time, like versus someone who's always been against them the whole time. They're usually more upset with, and especially when it comes to like jury votes, they're more upset with the person they thought was a friend who then went against them. And I think that is something we could see if we're coming down the stretch and it turns out that Tina kind of has to pick a side, or she has to vote out someone who thought she was working with her. I think that it could get bad for her. I think people could be really hurt. And, you know, so, I mean, who knows though? I mean, we've seen it in the past where people have been able to walk this line very well and no problems. And we sit there the whole time saying, oh, it's not going to end well. You know, this is going to have the House of Cards is going to come down soon, but then it never does. So I hope that they can pull this off the whole time, but you know, we'll see.
How do we feel about the oddballs? We see the alliance come to it's Vic, Kyle, Roe, Austin, Braden, Tina, and Tara. I feel like there's four of these people are not really oddballs, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's to me, and I think we discussed this last night, was that it's more of just a few groupings coming together, not mm-hmm. really like a solid alliance. Like this is like
an odd selection of balls coming together.
Come together.
Yes.
Yeah. And a little odd pairings of people. Like maybe it's odd that they're all coming together. Like that you have these different groups that are now coming together to form the oddballs. I don't know, but it doesn't seem to me like a totally cohesive alliance yet. We don't know what's going to happen, but it does seem to me like there's more little pairings of people or little groupings of people within this larger frame of the oddballs versus, I think, the Sunsetters, which was more of like we're a big group, we're coming together. Yes, there are some people who are working with people and like them more than others, but it did seem more cohesive. Although, look at it now. Who knows?
Big Potato in the chat says it's literally the other people from Big Brother 2. It's top. Come again. Rising from the ashes.
Yeah,
back again.
I'm trying to think. I mean, think for me, I think it's an interesting group of people. I don't know why, but for some reason, I think I have a soft spot for the Sunsetters, and I want to see one of the people who maybe even like Tyra Jed, especially because I know tomorrow's probably going to be a bad one. I kind of want to see one of them win an HOH, honestly. I guess maybe there's some predictability of people that they could potentially put up, whether that's Victoria or Ro or Kyle. But I don't know. I mean, I guess when I've watched Victoria in her HOH this week, I just honestly, like, there have been some, I think, great moments where I think she made some really good moves, but there are also things that I really question how she carried them out. So if this is a long-term group, I think it'll be interesting to see where it goes. But I think that a lot of the people in that group have caused, you know, chaos and drama. And I guess I'm just not personally huge fans of them. I don't think that they're necessarily in a better position, but, you know, I think it's important to get coalitions, get numbers as you're in the house, because I think that's really crucial for votes. And it seems like they're basically going to be deciding this vote ultimately. So I think that it's definitely a good group for now, but I don't know in the long term really how long they're going to last. And I think that ultimately depends on who wins the next HOH.
Yeah, here's what I want. I want next HOH to be won by a Sunsetter, and then I want the next HOH to be won by an oddball, and then I want the next HOH to be run by a Sunsetter. We keep going like that because that makes the game fun. And it's a lot more fun when the sides are fairly evenly split and they kind of lose a member and then the other side loses a member and the other side loses a member to keep that even split. Once one side gets too powerful, it's over. But if we can just keep that split for a longer time, that'll be fun.
Here's what I want. I want next week for a Sunsetter to win. And then the week after that, the new alliance that was created after that week wins. And then the week after that, the new opposing alliance that was created after that wins.
Just and keeps so on and making so forth. New alliances, making new building alliances. On each other.
We'll have 20 alliances by the end of the season.
Exactly.
I can't tell if she's dumb or extremely smart.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't tell if she's dumb or extremely smart.
Extremely smart. Truth. That was extremely smart. Yeah. Okay. So you guys can tell I'm having fun with the clips, right?
No, we can't tell.
We're going to get to a veto draw here. And the veto draw could not have gone better, or it could have gone better, actually. But if I'm exaggerating, it could not have gone better for the Sunsetters.
It was when I heard about it at from the feeds, I was like, oh my God, what a great draw. Like there's no way that LaToya or Kiefer is staying on the block. There's just absolutely no way.
Yeah.
Oh,
best case scenario. I was excited.
The thing here to point out, of course, is that prior to the veto draw, prior to the veto, competition, Victoria had promised Jed and Ty that they could name the replacement nominee. She had also given them explicit, consent, essentially, that yes, if you win the veto, you can use it on Toya. I am telling you, you are allowed to do that. And so they very much felt like this is amazing. Like they were celebrating, like all we need to do is win this veto. We'll take Toya down. We'll get like Kyle up on the block. We'll send Kyle out. This is going to be so great.
Did not happen like that.
Didn't seem to happen like that. No. This is not going to turn out well. We get to the competition. I thought this was an interesting competition. We've gotten some interesting ones. There was definitely some physical components to it, but it was basically just running up and down some stairs, dropping in some letters into a crossword puzzle. And I mean, really, I don't know what like to say about this other than Jed just destroyed this competition. It didn't seem like anybody was even remotely close.
I loved how Jed was like, they thought that I wouldn't be good at this because I'm only a physical guy. Well, guess what? I have a crossword app. I thought that was so great. I was like, yes, nice.
That was my favorite line, definitely. And then I think, because Kiefer, when he was doing his for like eviction, he thought it was Thursday and he's like, oh, there's only one S or something. It might be wrong. I don't know. So there was a lot of, I guess, interesting moments. But it seemed like in general, the guys, I mean, I guess aside from Jed because of his crossword experience, but like it seemed like there was general concern because people were like, oh, I was hoping for physical comp. But in reality, this, you know, seems like this is going to require more of your brain. But, you know, I did like the whole like scratch off situation and where you got some of the clues at least to help. Because, you know, I know that can be like hard for a moment to think of some of the certain words. But of course, they're Big Brother related words. So I guess it wouldn't be, you know, too difficult. But I guess that one caveat about the challenge is like if you accidentally fill in the wrong slot with the wrong letter or tile, you would have to basically remove the tiles and start over. So that was the one drama of the challenge that would take away people's time or their progress.
Yeah. You know, Jed in his preseason interviews was saying, I'm going to throw the mental comps early so they don't know how good I am at them. And, you know, ever since he got into the house, he has been rattling off birthdays, exposing how great his memory is. And now he just crushes this competition, which was a mixture of physical and mental with all the running up and down. They were talking about how physical it was after the competition ended and the feeds came back. So, I mean, Jed is definitely a massive threat in competitions, which is very, very interesting because Ty seems to be the bigger target of the two of them just because he's better socially. I think that's a mistake. I think you have to take Jed out of this game. He is so theoretically strong at these competitions. Like the last thing you want is for, you know, Kevin Martin to walk in, but apparently Kevin Martin is not a comp beast. So I guess it's not an issue.
Yeah, no, honestly, he's very impressive. I had literally no idea with him coming in the house that he was going to be a mental threat. And I think that, you know, it's going to be really good for him down the stretch, especially because, you know, the lines have been drawn now at this point. Like there's no hiding it anymore. There's no like flying under the radar. I feel like they need to one of the Sunsetters needs to win HOH this upcoming week or else there's really not going to be a Sunsetters anymore. Like they're just going to get taken out one by one and that's it. So, you know, I do think that Jed has one of the best chances to, you know, continue on down the stretch just purely for the fact that he could win competitions so easily. But yeah. It seems.
Yeah.
I definitely think winning this comp, I think, was probably some good momentum for him. And, you know, he'll probably, I'm sure, will perform well in the next one, depending on what that is. I'm sure he's probably hoping for a more physical comp, but it seems like he's good at the mental comps, too. So I think that he'll probably have a really good shot at winning the next HOH. And considering what will probably happen tomorrow, you know, he will definitely need it. And I'm sure he's going to want to come back with vengeance.
Also, like, I'm sure he went into this competition being like, I have to win this because I have to take LaToya off the block. Like, this is it. We got to do this. And then he probably was like, now, you know, after hearing from Victoria, he's probably sitting there like, man, I really shouldn't have shown my abilities by winning that if I wasn't even going to be able to use the veto.
Yeah.
It would have been better just to not get it at all.
On the other hand, though, had Toya won this veto, she's definitely taking herself off the block. And then who is Vic threatening to put up, right? It could have been Jed.
Oh, boy. So, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, I guess the one thing that has come to mind, too, is like that probably made the whole situation even more difficult when LaToya jumped basically into Jed's arms, too, because mm-hmm. then I think it was pretty clear. Like, I think it was pretty obvious, like, who was fighting for who in the POV. But I think that probably also made it a bit more difficult, putting even more of a target on their backs.
Yeah. We are then going to get a little segment here, and in real time, they're skipping ahead like 3 days here for this segment. But we're going to get Brayden is going to get to skip the slop. He received the most amount of votes, and he's going to be able to order from Skip the Dishes. How exciting! Brayden gets more food.
Fun segment.
Yeah. Did we pay attention? Did he order a vegetarian option this time?
I did not pay attention.
I couldn't really tell it what he had. I just saw he had like two large like plates or squares or rectangles of food, but I couldn't see really what it was.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, a filler segment. I'm like, bye-bye attention. I literally was just like, I don't care.
He was awkwardly eating by himself just down at the table. I was like, okay, this is weird.
This is so fun.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're then going to get the real meat of the episode and the real meat of the feeds for the last few days, which, of course, again, starts with.
First of all, this is not a good talk, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, not a good talk.
Oh, my God, this talk.
And let me tell you, for as much as I applaud the Big Brother Canada editors for this episode, which was surprisingly accurate in terms of, you know, comparing this, like, this could have been a BBUS episode in terms of like its accuracy. And that's a compliment. So I do respect what they were able to do with the episode. But I still do feel like they occasionally miss out on some gold. And there was a lot of gold in this conversation that was left on the table. We got a lot of Vic explaining about how LaToya is going to flip it. So that was one of Victoria's reasons for wanting to leave Toya on the block and threatening to nominate Ty if the veto was used. But there were other reasons, like, well, Ty and Jed, you guys said that I was a comp beast and that I was really smart. And so now I have a target on my back. And so now I can't do it. So it's really your fault. She also talks about, hearing information. Oh, Kyle told me stuff. And therefore, you know, he's amazing. I really respect that. Many, many things. But the show really wanted to boil it down to one thing. And this was that thing.
Because LaToya is going to flip it. Because LaToya is going to flip it.
Over and over.
I guess I understand why maybe they were trying to make it so Victoria seemed like she was making good points. Like, I guess that's like kind of a decent argument, maybe. And the other arguments are not decent arguments at all. So maybe they were trying to make it seem like Victoria was actually providing them with good reasoning behind why she was doing what she was doing. But it all just like collapsed. I just feel like none of the reasoning made sense. I do think she was doing a really good job. Because for me personally, if I am trying to give like reasoning that I know is not legit, but I'm trying to argue a point and someone kind of calls me out on it, I'm not great at being like, well, no, this is it, and doubling down. I kind of backtrack, or I smile, or I like laugh because it's so stupid. Like, I can't follow through. So, I mean, good for her for being able to just like continuously argue these nonsense points. I mean, it's crazy to me. And good on Jed and Ty, because I would have gone nuts. I would have been like, you are literally making no sense. Do you understand how none of this makes any sense? Because at this point, she's already threatening them. So, I mean, it's up to them if they want to use the veto. So they might as well just go all out and just like tell her that she's not making any sense. They don't have to mollycoddle her. They literally can just argue with her because she's not making any sense.
Ugh. Yeah, this was one of the most nonsensical conversations I've heard on Big Brother in quite a long time.
Seriously.
So it is a bit of a shame that we did not get that edit. But we got a little bit of the, I think they went for the drama instead, which I honestly there wasn't a ton from this episode that you could have cut. Assuming you can't cut your sponsored segment, which of course I'm sure you can't. maybe we could have had a shorter veto competition or something along those lines. But this is one of those situations where I'm like, not a real criticism as much as I feel like maybe I would have made a different call because this conversation is just so wacky. But yes, this is another situation where I'm like, if you want more details on this conversation, listen to the live feed update I did on Monday, because that's the one where I recapped this conversation. It was quite a wild one.
I mean, Stacked in the Chat is referencing Vanessa, and it's so reminiscent of Vanessa.
Yeah.
Like, the reasoning, where it's just like the reasons don't make sense, but you can't argue with the person. Like, you just can't argue with Vanessa. You can't argue with Victoria because they're not making sense either. So you can't argue with someone who is not making sense. Like, the logic just isn't there. And you can't fight logic with that. You know, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that really, I think, bothered me was the lack of logic. Cause I think also Victoria would constantly say, like, in her argument, she's like, well, I trust LaToya, but I don't trust that she's not going to flip the vote. And I'm like, underlying, you're saying you do not trust LaToya. So I don't understand how you can use that argument. She's like, well, you know, LaToya is the head of the snake, but I'm really targeting Kiefer because Kiefer lied about me. So it's just like, I think her reasoning, you know, ultimately didn't make sense. Cause it's also like, if you supposedly say that you want to work with Ty, Jed, and LaToya moving forward, you're not going to keep LaToya on the block, but you're saying, oh, come talk to me Thursday, cause that's when we can revisit this discussion and that sort of thing. But to me, I'm just like, if you supposedly want to work with people, you're not going to intentionally keep them on the block, and you're going to give the people permission to take, you know, them off the block, allow Jed to use his veto like you initially promised him before.
Yeah. You don't ever put your allies in a situation where one of them could go home intentionally. Like, if there's any way to get around it, you would do that. So she clearly doesn't actually want to work with them, and they clearly recognize that. I mean, but how do you argue with it when the person is saying, no, I do. And you know, the other thing is that I think part of the issue is that you can't convince someone of something when they're lying about the reasons why they're doing something. So it's like, you can't change their mind if they're if the reasons they're all giving you are a total lie. So she clearly wants to do something else. The reasoning for that is given to them, and they're trying to refute those points, but she's not listening to it because she doesn't believe those points. Like, those points are irrelevant to her. So it's like, she's always going to be like, yeah, no, that doesn't make any sense. Because there's no actual logic behind it. It's not that she actually believes that LaToya would flip the boat, or that she actually believes that, like, she needs to, like, that they put a target on her because they complimented her, or that she actually believes that she needs to, like, punish them or whatever, or like give them a slap on the wrist by keeping LaToya on the block or threatening Ty to go on the block. Like, that she doesn't believe those things. So you explaining to her why she's wrong about those things isn't going to matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, I do think that the Sunsetters were also let off a bit here in the edit, because they are pointing out the obvious inconsistencies. And we've kind of left out the bits where they're like, but maybe she is telling the truth.
Yeah, there's no way they could believe that.
And that's where the whole
she's dumb or extremely smart.
Dumb or extremely smart. They really can't tell. They're still questioning in their mind to this day. And so they decide, all right, let's all go as a four and confront Victoria about this. Don't put Ty on the block. And this does not end well, Geneva.
No, it does not end well, because it basically doesn't really help anyone at all. It results in, like, LaToya and Vic trying to talk over each other, you know, saying, Vic's like, don't talk to me like that. And Toya's like, you know, can I say what I'm saying? And then you can, talk, and then I'll listen, because that's how a conversation works.
Which is so condescending and awful. I would honestly be so irritated if someone spoke to me like that. Like, there's one thing to be like, hey, can you like just hold on and like while I talk and not interrupt me so I can get my point across, versus like, because that's how a conversation works. That is just, that would make me so mad.
And since Vic is in a position of power, I feel like it's very difficult to talk to the head of household like that. And so, like, I understand that LaToya is frustrated, because if I were in her position, I would be absolutely frustrated. But it's also like, I think the one thing that I wish LaToya did a bit more is like, just like think and just like relax for a moment, because I think sometimes like she'll just shut down conversations and just be like, oh, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And I'm like, part of this game is you have to be social and talk to people. Mm-hmm. So like, you have to, like, even if you don't like people, you have to kind of pretend in some way, or just try to at least have civil conversations. But yeah, I think it was, very interesting. I think, Jed did a lot of talking, and he kind of emphasized, like, how can we trust, and work together with you if, like, two of our people are on the block? Like, how does that work? So I feel like, they brought up a lot of good points. But then, Victoria starts to bring up a lot of her reasons. Like, I've been trying to align myself with you guys since the beginning of the game. We wouldn't be in this position because of the flip that didn't happen, which to me sounds a little weird, because it's like, okay, well, the flip didn't happen. You keep, harping on this flip that didn't actually happen because you didn't
and
flip.
And she says, because of me. That's how she responds. They're like, but the flip didn't. Yeah, because of me, I stopped it. She's also something that Toya gets very frustrated with in this conversation is that Victoria is, which is funny because she gets very frustrated when Tara does this to her. But Victoria is an interrupter. not just an interrupter, but like an interrupter, like talk over somebody. And Toya is just like, well, let me talk. Let me get my piece out. And as Toya is trying to explain to Vic that she keeps talking over her, Vic talks over her.
I feel like I sympathize with Victoria, because I am an overlapping talker for sure. I mean, as you can all see on the podcast, it's like constantly me talking over everybody and then being like, oh, sorry.
I think it hits differently though if it's like a genuinely contentious argument, right?
And somebody's still trying to do it in that across. Case
well
that doesn't stop me.
That's the lawyer in you, I think.
Yeah, but seriously,
I think one thing that is good that, like, is that they keep trying to, I think, poke holes into Victoria's argument. So they keep trying to say, like, well, you know, it's a coincidence that these certain people are in your room, so you're clearly working with them. But like Victoria likes to say, oh, I'm not working with them. You know, these people, you know, on the feeds and stuff, she would say, like, oh, these people, you know, they just hang out in my room and things like that. I just let them in.
Yeah, that's,
but it's just like, no, it's become very clear. And then you're making justifications for people you say you're not close to keep them safe. And so it's like, it's not adding up. And I think it's becoming very clear that the things that Victoria is saying, you know, like it's hard for her to back up. But I think, you know, I guess the one thing that she has said about Kyle is like, well, Kyle told me the information before I became HOH. So, you know, that holds more true. And that's why it's more, I guess, valid in that sense.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I just feel like, I think for Victoria, like keeping LaToya, like that's a lost cause. Like they're not going to convince her, I think, to like want to keep LaToya. So I feel like if I'm Jed and Ty, I'd want to have a conversation with Victoria and tell her like, look, you're telling us you want to work with us. Something's not adding up here, because if you really wanted to work with us and LaToya, you would take her off the block and not put either of us up. It wouldn't even matter because we would be working with you moving forward. So it doesn't matter if someone flips or whatever. Yes, you know, like, yes, Kiefer is your target, but we will vote Kiefer out. And, you know, so will everyone else in the house, whatever you want to do, you know, but take LaToya off the block. Let's leave our new quote unquote alliance safe. And then if she's kind of pushing back, explain to her like, look, this isn't adding up. Are you trying to get LaToya out? Be honest with us, because if you're not honest with us, right? Like if you're honest with us right now and you tell us the truth, like we could work with you moving forward because you were completely honest with us. We will take the loss and understand if you really want to get LaToya out, we're not unwilling to work with you moving forward, but you've got to be honest with us. And if you're not honest with us and your true intention is to get out LaToya and LaToya leaves this week because we left her on the block and trusted you, then that really harms our chances of working together moving forward. And I think that if they kind of lay it out in that way, possibly she might feel comfortable enough to, you know, tell them her true intentions this week. And maybe it won't change anything, but at least then they'll know and they can stop with these games, you know, and or else she lies to them. And then they have reasons moving forward to be like, look, like this, you totally lied to us. I just feel like they, if I were them, I'd want to like lay everything out on the table and be like, look, like we know something's up.
Yeah, they just lay everything out on the table. And then she goes, what do you want me to do?
Do you want me to put Beth up?
You want
to,
what do you, is that what you want?
Do you want me to put Beth up?
Beth, you want Beth up on the block?
They were silent.
Like, no, we don't. Like, literally, there's a whole nother half of the house like that you supposedly are not working with that they just come up here and use your iPod. Like, so why not put one of them up? Why does that have to be Beth?
This week, I can't do it. I've made deals with everybody this week. I'm not so aligned ridiculous. With them, but you know, they told me stuff. So, and it was proved that what Kiefer said was a lie. And so, yeah.
Well, you know, you can blame Toya for that. So that's it.
I just feel like they need to just like make, they need to force it out of her. I don't think there's any chance
she ever admits to this. I think that even at the end of this week, she's going,
I think she's going to pretend like, oh my God, what happened? This is crazy.
If I interview Victoria and I ask her about this week, she'll tell me, yeah, but they said I was smart and a comp beast, so I had to do what I had to do. Like, like, I don't know.
I just feel like it's like they, I mean, okay. All right. So you're telling me that at the end of this week, when she's telling everyone her target is Kiefer, like supposedly her target is Kiefer. And she's like, you know, that's the story. And she's sticking to it. The end of the week comes, LaToya gets voted out by the people who are in the oddballs and whoever else.
Assuming the veto is not used. Yes.
Yes. But no, I just mean like if Victoria has her way, like if Victoria has her way and LaToya gets voted out, then what? Like she's going to pretend like she's really upset that the oddballs went against her wishes. And because Kiefer was her ultimate target. And so she's not going to talk with them and just be like, I can't believe this happened. So that Jed and Ty are like, oh, I guess she didn't want LaToya to go out. What went wrong? Like, or is she just going to be like, yeah, suck it. Like, this is what I wanted. And I didn't want you to use the veto. So there you go. Like, it just seems like she's sticking to this story and that she's going to just like, I don't know. I don't know what her end game is this week. I feel like it would have been a lot simpler if she had just told them, like, look, LaToya is my target. She's a really good player. I can't see myself working with her. We don't connect. She's a huge threat. I have to get her out. And then I feel like people would be understanding of it. They'd be upset, but at least they'd be like, look, at least she told us the truth and was honest with us instead of this whole game.
She's going to be like, I knew it. I knew what I should have done.
Do you want me to put Beth up?
I should have put Beth up. I should have put Beth up.
I just, it doesn't make sense to me what her, I feel like she's thinking only of like in the moment right now, what do I want to happen? I don't want the veto to get used, but she's not thinking about like the end result. Like what's, cause she's not looking forward. I feel like she's not looking towards the next few weeks or anything. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
She's not thinking about the long term. And I think that's what's really detrimental about her game this week is that this HOH, I don't think really has helped her. Like, sure, she has a few allies here and there, but I really feel like moving forward, she's going to be a big target, especially if a Sunsetter wins, especially if Jed or Ty win, because they will not be happy. That's for sure.
Yes. All right. Well, the veto ceremony is in 1 hour, guys. This, by the way, was a day early. They really cut this short. We are going to be slapped with a to be continued. What will happen with the veto?
Nobody knows.
Find out tomorrow night on the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 9. Any last thoughts here on the episode before we move into some spoilers?
I like the way that it was edited. I felt like it was made clear. They obviously left out some parts, but I think the overall narrative is accurate and clear. And, I don't love the fact that it's a to be continued. I see why they did it, because it is a good ending, because it's like, oh my God, dramatic, what's going to happen? But at the same time, you know, I hate those cliffhangers. I just want to see the appropriate ceremonies on the appropriate days. And that's what I want.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we've got for the episode. Let's talk spoilers. Let's talk about what happened with this veto ceremony and what we are looking at tomorrow night. If you're bouncing out now, we'll be back tomorrow night to talk about everything that goes down. But in the meantime, we will be talking spoilers. So here is your chance to spoiler.
To scram.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
I'm so glad to have this. It's so nice to do the
I'm
silliest
so
dances.
I'm so glad you have the spoiler song, because before when you didn't have it, it was like, all right, we're going to do the spoiler song. Spoiler, everybody, there's gonna be a spoiler. Okay, let's end that. It was just like, okay, we're not dancing. We're like kind of dancing to Taryn, but not really. Now you've got the actual song.
Yeah, and if you're listening and not watching, you're missing out.
It's a mistake.
Video and watch the dancing. And
yeah, the dancing is worth it to watch the video. I mean, the dancing alone.
Yeah.
I mean, one of these days we should choreograph something.
Guys,
I get everyone in their little boxes doing the same move.
My dance moves.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah. Can't be touched. Let's talk spoilers. Obviously we get to this veto ceremony and the veto is not used. Toya remains on the block. Toya remains the target. Toya will be going home tomorrow night, and Toya does not know that she will be going home tomorrow night, Geneva. This is, as of right now, a blindside.
Yeah. I'm actually really sad about this. I really, really enjoyed LaToya for what I've seen of her this season. I was actually really intrigued and hoped to see an HOH with her. I feel like when Ty and Jed lose her, they're going to lose a really not only a really strong ally, but a really strong strategic member of the group. It's going to be definitely disappointing. I'm just very intrigued to see the aftermath of that vote, because, you know, it still seems like people, like, they've had the thoughts, oh, you know, maybe she's planning something. Oh, no. She's not. It's going to be Kiefer. No, like, maybe targeting LaToya. Oh, no, maybe it's Kiefer. So I'm very intrigued to see the response to the blind side and who will be mad at who will be gunning for who, what the response will be in the house, and how the HOH plays out. But I'm kind of disappointed. I honestly really wanted to see LaToya survive another day. And then even after hearing that supposedly Victoria basically told them, oh, you know, I wasn't actually going to put, you know, Ty on the block as the replacement.
Yes.
That to me, I think, is probably going to set something off in their heads, especially.
We'd better get that in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that's big.
Yeah.
Like, it's so cruel.
Right after the ceremony, Victoria goes to Jed after he doesn't use it, and she says, I wasn't really going to put Ty up on the block, just so you know. Like, excuse me?
It's like, oh, man, that would make me so mad. It's like rubbing it in.
Yes.
It's just, oh. It's like, you made a mistake. Good job.
That's like in poker when you bluff someone out of a hand and you flip the cards over to be like, that's right, I just bluffed you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eat it.
It's not good. I mean, it's good for TV.
Yeah.
But it's not, if they use it, but it's not good for your game, I think. Like, to just be like, I tricked you. It's literally telling them, I tricked you. And that would make me feel awful. And I would never trust her again, mm-hmm. ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if LaToya goes home. I am going to be so sad to see LaToya go. I feel like I really thought that she'd go far. And I think she's a really strong player. I don't like to see it end like this, really. Like, there are so many more people left in the house. Like, I really thought it'd be a little bit longer that we'd get to see her do some work. And I also thought, you know, even if she was on the block, maybe she'd be able to pull something off, but it just seems like nobody's listening. It's really unfortunate. Maybe there's a power, I don't know, but it is sad to see her go, but I will say that if she does go this week, it probably will light the fire that it takes to have two major sides duking it out, rather than, you know, everyone like work together or maybe, you know, take off some of the floaters. I don't know, but I'm hopeful that it really sets a fire under Ty and Jed and makes them want to, you know, work even harder.
Yeah. So what we've seen in the time since the veto ceremony is that, again, Toya is going to be voted out, but they're keeping that from Toya. Tina and Tara will be voting Toya out. They have made an alliance with Kiefer, who is playing up that he's kind of out of the game at this point. And they're calling themselves kind of the pre-90s. And they're going to try to be kind of like this middle group. And in the meantime, the guys, Jed and Ty, have come up with this idea that they are frustrated that the people like Tina and Tara, Austin, Braden, Victoria, they're going to kind of slide by while the guys go after each other. And so they came up with the idea that they want to approach Kyle and Ro with a peace offering, a little treaty that they can not go after each other and instead go after the Tinas, the Taras, the Vicks, maybe even the Austins and Bradens of the world, and keep each other safe. And so actually, while this podcast was going on, they made that pitch to Kyle and Ro.
You need the breaking news soundbite.
Yeah.
Breaking news are happening now.
Boom.
Breaking news.
They made the pitch And they said that, and Kyle and Roe asked them, do you have any untouchables? They did use the term.
No.
And Ty said that, well, just one. Toya. Not Beth? No, not Beth. No. Toya. Okay. Well, good to know.
Like, oh, okay, good. So we're already going to break this pact right after this.
Yeah, this is not going to last very long.
Yeah.
No, they're going to be pissed right away.
And so so they make this this treaty, this you know, this treaty, this temporary treaty. Ty and Jed apparently go off and they're like, I think we might have done that. I think we might be able to make this work. We can like take out somebody like Vic next week. You know, nominate people like Tina or Tara or something like that. Maybe we can make something like this work. Of course, as soon as Kyle and Roe get done with the conversation, they're like, you believe these guys? What are they thinking? Come to us with that. We're nominating them. Let's tell Austin and Brayden about this so that this was a terrible, terrible idea on all sides. And you better believe that Tina and Tara will be hearing about this at some point as well.
I think this would be a possibly good move later on. I feel like once it's fully established that there's two separate like sides and those sides are equally matched, I feel like at this point, I'm thinking that the oddballs are thinking, well, the Sunsetters are really just Jed and Ty and LaToya and Beth, and LaToya is leaving. So like, why do we have to be scared? So I think that they don't see them as like a full on separate side. I mean, they've basically lost Tina. Kiefer is like not a non-entity at this point, because he's just like, oh, what was me, whatever. So I just feel like they're not seeing this as like a good opportunity for them. I don't think they're viewing it as we're in danger if we don't make this deal. And I think you have to wait until a situation when the four strong guys view themselves as being in danger if they don't make this deal together. Otherwise, like, it just seems, it seems beneficial, a one-way deal. It's like a one-way street. It seems beneficial for Jed and Ty, but Roe and Kyle aren't seeing the benefits of entering into this treaty besides like keeping two strong guys around that could possibly go after them later on. It doesn't make any sense. And it just seems like a stupid deal. Plus it makes them look dumb when they're like, yeah, LaToya's our untouchable and everyone else knows that she's leaving. Like it just, yeah, it doesn't look good for them. It's not a good situation.
Yeah.
The one thing that I have to say about this is I think that maybe if LaToya did not basically hate Roe and Kyle, maybe it would have made some sort of a difference, but she's basically said like, I don't like you all. And so mm-hmm. by them saying that, you know, they're untouchable, which I hate that term, happens to be LaToya, like that's just not going to work. And clearly this alliance is not going to work. It's going to dissolve because they're going to be voting out LaToya. And then the one other thing is that I think that it could work potentially, like maybe if we took out the whole, I guess, the untouchable part, that whole situation. But I just feel like, I don't feel like the middle people right now are much of a danger. Like, I think there'll be a danger moving forward, but I don't really feel like any of them are really causing serious damage to warrant going for them. I do think, though, that Ty and Jed are probably going to be mad at Tina and Tara with this vote. So I feel like they may come for them, but I feel like that should not be their focus. I think their focus needs to be, you know, the people behind this. I think their focus really needs to be, you know, Victoria, and they need to focus on Roe and Kyle and then focus it on those supposed middle people later.
Yeah, I mean, I'll stand behind this take. I think that this kind of thing, the idea that there are two sides and let's target the people in the middle, is one of the worst moves that you can make in Big Brother. Ty and Jed are regretting the fact that they didn't vote out Roe last week. And then next week they're like, you know what would be the best for us? To not go after Ro or Kyle again. It's so bad. And what makes it even worse is that heading into next week, Tina and Tara plan on throwing the HOH, which means it's going to be 4 versus 4. Austin and Brayden, Kyle and Ro versus Ty, Jed, Beth, and Kiefer. And kind of on top of that, I don't know that Austin and Brayden have a huge fire under them to win either. They're talking about, like, it would be great if Kyle and Ro won this and went after that side. The better for us that that happened. Whereas Beth, Ty, Jed, and Kiefer will all be gunning full force for this HOH. And Tina and Tara fully will be throwing this HOH, which means they kind of, even though it's technically something closer to 6 versus 4, it's actually a little bit more 4 versus 2, except they've now pitched to give safety to the two people that are making the rest of the people on that other side feel comfortable not trying their hardest. And so instead of Austin and Brayden feeling like maybe we don't have to win, when Kyle and Ro tell them, oh, yeah, the guys are promising that we're going to be safe and that they're going to go after the other people, they're going to be like, oh, crap, now we need to win and go after Ty and Jed. And when Tina and Tara find out that they are up for nomination, potentially, if Ty or Jed win, they will also be gunning for HOH and also will be putting Ty and Jed on the block. This is a disaster. It's a disaster even before they make the disastrous move. If they win, it's already a disaster. It's hard to get much worse than this.
No, I feel like this is a deal that is made later on in the game when it's been made clear that everybody's targeting the 4 strong men. Like, I just feel like no one's really made an indication so far that those are the guys that are being targeted. I mean, obviously they get talked about, but I mean, this week they weren't even on the block. Like, they weren't even getting targeted. So I feel like that's a deal you make later. I don't feel like that's a deal you make now. It's bad news. It's not good. And the fact that they left the conversation thinking that it went well for them, that's really bad. And now, I mean, it gives Kyle and Ro more points because they went and told people about this conversation. So it's like, okay, here's your loyalty points because now I'm informing you of this. They're not going to tell anyone, you know? And it's like, okay, if that gets around, you know, and Kiefer finds out and Beth finds out that they didn't consider them and untouchable. I mean, that's terrible to be going and making deals behind your alliance's back. And then it all ends poorly for them. It's so sad. Bad call.
Bad call. Okay. Well, that's basically what we've got again, heading into tomorrow night. I do believe that Tina and Tara at one point planned on letting Toya know prior to the vote that she would be leaving. I don't know if that is definitely still the plan, but I would expect that Toya gets some kind of heads up. But it's possible she doesn't. As of right now, Ty and Beth and them, they have like talked about, like, are they really not voting Toya? If I was them, I would be voting Toya out right now. I can't believe they're not. I can't say that out loud because I don't want them to hear me. I don't want them to get the idea. And it's like, no, they've got the idea.
Yeah.
They're going to do
it. They don't need your help.
And they already have the idea. They're just like, I can't imagine that we're being lied to all week long, right?
That's right? Why I'm the only benefit that they could come from Toya leaving, I think, is that it'll put a fire under them and it'll make them maybe like kick it into high gear and just be like, oh my God, everyone lied to us. We really can't trust anyone. We really need to, you know, work on this going forward and just like go for it. I don't know. I just feel like maybe it'll turn the game up a few notches. I don't know.
All right. Well, that's what we've got heading into tomorrow night. It should be interesting here. The HOH, of course, is going to be very important in terms of the direction of not only next week, but really the direction of where the game could head from here on out. So I'm sure we'll get a great cliffhanger from it tomorrow night. And then
honestly, when Victoria won HOH, I had no idea this is the week we would get. No way. I did not expect this at all. It's been very exciting. And I'm shocked. And, you know, excited to see where the season goes for sure.
So there we go. That's what we have. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today and tonight on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. We will be back tomorrow night to recap the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 9. I'll also be live on Twitch tomorrow to talk about the stock watch, go over some of the options, see what we've got going on in this particularly silly stock market we've got going on this season. And I will also be live watching the episode live, the eviction episode on Twitch. I'm also thinking about going live tonight to play some Fall Guys. So if you want to check me out there, that's twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'm sure there's plenty more to chat about on the feeds or with the feeds and on Fall Guys with some crownings going on. Melissa, what are you up to? Where can people find you?
They can find me on all social media at It's Melissa with 3 A's. And they just put out a podcast I was on for Stuff 90s Shows Taught Me, where we talked about all things Mary-Kate and Ashley. So, you know, if you're interested in that sort of thing, which obviously you are, you should go check that out. I retweeted it, so you should check my Twitter.
All right. Geneva, where can people find you?
People can find me at Peace Love Gen, G-E-N. I tweet a lot about reality TV and random thoughts about life. You can also find me on Silent Podcasts. I talk a lot about Temptation Island and some other stuff. And last but not least, if you want to keep talking about Big Brother Canada 9 and talk about this recap or what happened the episode today or what's going to happen tomorrow, I will be on Clubhouse in the RHAP Club, and we can keep this conversation going. It's going to start at about 9:45. 8:45 Central. So you can join the party there. If you check out my Twitter, I have the link there as well.
There you go. That Clubhouse.
Stay so Android exclusive. Free.
we'll get in.
There you go. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us here tonight. See you next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.